Here's the thing, Foxtrot. The way you know that my podcasts are raw as fuck, but even I've sort of mellowed a little bit over the years. Listen, in contrast to everyone else, obviously I'm wild and I'm still like a motherfucker, but compared to my old days, is because I used to even, anytime anyone brought up that famous thing of like the gap between the West and the East, my joke was, you've missed a letter, it's a gape. And we just leave it at that. We just leave it at that. The visual picture's made. You don't need anything else more to be said. All I'm saying is, Bjergsen was going back to NA every time, like fucking wide fucking whip hole, wasn't he? He was just walking about, bloody hell, oh, not again. Tell you what, this time let's try not qualifying. Anyway, let's move it on. It's a random detail. I also think it would just be hilarious because if you know, right, Flandre is a player back in the day in the LPL. It was probably a bit underrated by Westerners because his team never made it to Worlds. So they didn't know he was like one of the best top laners, but he was on like questionable teams or borderline good teams. It would also just be hilarious to see every idiot probably tell me like now he's like the greatest top laner ever when he wins at the end of his fucking career and he's not even close to the best player on his team. That's just the way it is in League of Legends. All the narratives after he crafted to specifically target me and trigger me for some reason, except for that whole thing where Reckless always fucks up Worlds and cries. That's like the universe throwing me a bone after it fucks me over all the time. It's like, okay, I'll take that. I'll take that. Do the fucking trade meme. Actually, you look like you could be the trade meme, Foxtrot. Like, I offer you TSM must win a bunch. Okay, don't really think I like this trade, but Reckless will cry three times and punch. Hey, you know what? You know what? Now you look at it. Yeah, that weighs up pretty good, actually. I'll take that deal. I'll take that trade.
Just wine. And I'm like, this doesn't work. That's not how everything. That's not
no,
how
this
everything
is
works.
The best part. This was the third day. The second day, I take Jason to a friendly game between like a Serbian club and a Russian club. It's one of the two biggest clubs. It's called Red Star, right? Like they played in Champions League this year, so sure. I can't really make this short. So Jason like buys a couple of souvenirs at the shop. He buys like two T-shirts, like two hoodies, or something. So we go the next day to this restaurant. It's a super nice restaurant, like in a nice part of town. And he comes in this hoodie, which is like the hoodie of the ultras, like of the hooligan.
So he looks like a hooligan, basically.
Yeah, so he's like okay, coming in and it's the wrong part of the city to wear it in, right?
To be fair, Jason, if you haven't spoken, you are also a guy who's got a shaven head and like stubble. Like you look like a hooligan, dude.
So this is the best part. It's in the wrong part. If it was in the right part of the city,
right, okay,
it would be fine, right?
But here's the classier area.
What are you doing? It's not just the classier area, it's the area where the other club has their fans.
I see, right, okay.
So, that's the thing. What are you doing? Take this hoodie off, like, and he's like taking it off, and of course, beneath, he has the t-shirt from the same club. And I'm like, all right, I give
that
it.
Reminds me of this time I took
let's
Jason.
Let's hope for the best. Let's just hope for the best.
That reminds me of this time I took Jason to this basketball game in Alabama, and I was like, will you take that hood off, Jason? Because he had this hoodie on, you see, of the rival team, so that whatever. That went close enough to the line, but I kept it back by the numbers episode. We already told the story of Jason. I'll quickly go through it anyway for you, because we're going to get more stories. This is a really quick version. Like, since we always used to make Jason do the rundown of like the rounds that he was highlighting, we always used to say, because he looks like Professor X, like, go and get in Cerebro then. And as we retold the story already, there was one time where Jason tried to jump the gun on us saying that by just saying, right, guess it's time for me to get into this wheelchair then. And then we were just looking at him like, what the fuck? What? And by the way, Jason, the one detail I didn't add to that story, I've realized now that completes the story. Because this is the part I need to mention, is that whenever someone does something like that, obviously we do know what you actually mean, but we are all cunts and we'll definitely pretend like, what are you referring to, Jason? I don't even know what that means. What is that? What does that even mean? It's a bit like when Richard one time actually did, you know that thing that me and Henry were doing years ago where for some stupid reason we kept saying like, EZ, PZ, liquid squeeze Ed, or some shit like that. Some stupid thing that we just kept saying, right? Well, one time Richard tried to work that into a desk. I think it was at MLG Columbus, and he goes, well, Thorin, I guess you could say it was EZ, PZ, liquid squeeze Ed. And I said, why would you say that, though? What does that even mean? And the look on his face of betrayal of like, you're the one who even made that up. You're the one who says that. I'm trying to work your material in now. And I was just going, doesn't even mean anything, Richard. It's just completely meaningless. You know, anyway, moving on.
Committing to this.
Here's the thing, veteran. I can't lie. On the one hand, I want to see the old G2 and see what they'd be like in this game versus these opponents. But there's also a part of me thinks that the ultimate gangster end to this whole, because you know, I've been building this whole like movie narrative of that Perks is like the godfather of EU. The ultimate gangster move is that, you know, it's like a team meeting and Caps is like, I think we should just swap back. And like last year, then Perks goes, you want to play mid? Get your own team. That would be the ultimate gangster move. Because at that point, you shout a lock. You can't even do anything. Exactly. Yeah. You're like, listen, mate. And there's the other. Yeah, there's the follow up. And by the way, I'd get your shit together, Caps, because we've got options. You know, we can bring someone in if we need to. And then that's the ultimate revenge. And then he's just like, and P.S., by the way, never liked you. I actually always held something against you. That's like the revenge move, isn't it? Because remember, you're supposed to store your revenge till the perfect moment, aren't you? This is the question, veteran. Here's my problem. I've got to ask you this. People don't get it. I am not a Nuke Duck hater. In fact, this is what people should go and do. Go look up your history. I was one of the idiots in 2014 who thought he was like low key, like actually like as good as Bjergsen, etc. when he was in NIP. I thought he actually was that good, mate, because he would have games that he looked amazing. So this is my problem. My problem is,
a good comparison is Nuke Duck is your Whippo. You just want him assessed properly, right?
Yeah, basically. Here's the thing. You know that famous image, where it's like a really obvious fake UFO? It's like literally just like a saucer. It says, I want to believe. That's like me, but with Nuke Duck instead of the saucer. It's not that I'm a hater. I want him to be everything you're telling me he is, veteran. But every time I see this motherfucker in a playoff series where he's going against the other best players and all he has to do is be the player everyone's telling me he never does it. He always lets me down.
Yeah, I know.
See, what people don't know, Maui, is even though Anders gives off this, like, I won't say clean-cut appeal, etc., because his Twitter's totally revealed that's not the case, he's a total degenerate, but he was always such a lovable figure, never seemed to be saying anything mean about people. But people don't know, he's one of these fuckers who's like a little devil on my shoulder, always, like, provoking the worst parts of me. So I'm just thinking, is he really coming on my talk show, setting up fucking mad, like, fucking alley-oops of, like, Germans, their plan is to build a load of camps? Like, is it... I want to still have a career, Anders. Why are you fucking... Why you even put that on the table in front of me going, now you thought, what do you think about this? Like, give me a break. Anyway, whatever. You just watch the games. The problem with this is Natasafix isn't a tier 1 player. He could be a tier 2 player in the right team. Yeah, of course. That's sort of how his career has gone. And I don't want to hear any bullshit angle. Like, no, he preferred to be a streamer. So that's why. No, he didn't have a choice, mate. There was no choice for this individual to be in a tier 1 team. And again, we're not talking about standing for mouse spots because a player skipped. We're talking about standing for FaZe Clan. By the way, the team that won the motherfucking tournament with the standing they did take. So like, this whole convo has gotten so out of whack. Because as you say, they just keep shifting the goalposts from like, why are you mentioning him and bullying him? Okay, maybe he isn't that good then. So, but he is, he did try though. Oh, but you're just being mean now. Like, well, how fucking far these goalposts go? Yeah, guess what? I'm mean in how I describe bad players being bad. Wow. Guess what? If you can't handle that, I don't think this is the sport for you, mate. Go watch fucking Crochet or something. Everything's great. Who fucking, there's probably even some guy like Roy Keane and that's wrecking everyone. This Crossknit script. You couldn't fucking, yeah, I bet it's incredible. I should go into Crochet. Maybe that's the future for me. I figured it out now. That's actually where I need to pivot my brand.
I think it makes a lot more sense if you just go back and watch the video that Jack did with MCE and you envision MCE with a gun to his head.
Oh, mate, that vibe is so uncomfortable in that video. Because as you say, one, this guy, I remember he was on our show. Like, here's the thing, he's clearly a very smart guy, and I can see why people praise him, but he's not a person who's super comfortable on camera. You can see that. And then secondly, he is sat there with his boss in his brand new job, and it has that vibe, like you say, Gio, of like,
you know, there's a teleprompter
off camera, there's an AK and there's a holding up a card and they're like,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And he's like, it does fit. It has that vibe, I agree. It's like the hostage line. Video, exactly.
It's like they have a chief whip of like Cloud9. If you're British, you know what I'm talking about. But,
yeah. And he's like, yes, I agree with Cloud9's decision. Ye was not the right player for this team. Yes, Jack. And what do you have to say about, you know, like, it was a bit, the vibe was a bit off. Especially bearing in mind, they're trying to present it and say, you know, there's not a drama. It just didn't work out. And we're just going to go our separate ways.
Especially like the videos that Jack does for like Cloud9 news. Like, I always just get like, they always have like a kind of uncomfortable feeling. He's decent on camera, but I'm always like, ooh, if like anytime an executive is like talking directly to the camera to try, I just feel like
it's never a good look.
It's very like, what is going on here? And it just felt like it was just so clear it was stemming from like the leadership, and that's I don't see them doing any better if they don't do anything about that.
I've got a few angles on this. So one, this is another one where when people tell me like screams, I'm yelling. Listen, I'll say no offense, but I don't know why I bother. I'm foreign. I'll just do it my foreign way. If you had the dictionary in Counter-Strike, and you looked up the term, the famous phrase, all aim, no brain, there'd be a picture of Scream next to it. The only thing he's famous for is having bonkers fucking aim. That's the whole thing he does and that he was the king at. So the idea, one, you're going to do the role where that's going to take away from that is already like, please. And then two, prove it to me, mate. I mean, I'm not going to be rude like fucking that Floyd. If you remember when 50 Cent did that like ALS challenge where he was like, Floyd Mayweather, fuck the ALS challenge. If you could just read like this, a page of a children's book, I'll give you $5 million. I'm not going to go that far, but like, I just don't believe he's going to be a great in-game leader in Attack FPS. The Beatles said they get by with a little help from their friends, but I get by with a little help from my Patreon community. And this video was kindly supported by Matt Pugnaccio Rakula, Ahmed Haju, Bot Pounder 420, Toucan, Animosity, Tobias Bernasconi, Jensen Gore, Tosh, and a special thanks always goes out to my main man, Jerky's Minion. Would you like to ask me a question in my monthly video AMA? Do you want teasers to find out who are the upcoming guests? Maybe you want to take part in one of those lengthy but intense esports discussions I have with my donators? Or maybe you want to suggest a guest or a topic that I could cover? Well, if any of those tickle your fancy, put your money where your mouth is, and join the Scrilluminati today, where, in the description box below, there is a Patreon link.